Howdy dream, cowboys.
Welcome back, everyone, to our recap and review of the Disney Plus animated original series, What If Marvel. It's the MCU, but they changed things. They changed one thing, which changed everything. Today's episode, What If the MCU looked like an episode of Archer and it was a murder mystery?
Yeah. It's called What If the World Lost Its Mightiest Heroes, James. And
okay,
it was sold to us as a vote for Loki episode, but it did not end up that way. P.S. No. And by the way, Adam is also here. Say hi, Adam.
Yeah, I'm back this week. I was just, you know, vacationing.
Yeah. And your vacation went well?
It did. Niagara Falls was pretty neat.
Did you go over in a burl?
I attempted to, but they swiftly stopped me.
How so? Did you, like, go over in the burl, but then a helicopter swooped out of nowhere, and then you, like, forcefully had to grab onto the bottom of said helicopter? Is that what you're describing?
Let's just say that I'm Tom Cruise.
Sure.
And it was, in fact, the Thanos helicopter.
So, you being Tom Cruise, you got saved by aliens from a volcano?
Mm-hmm, yes. And I did all my own stunts, and I landed on my feet on the rocks in the water.
Could you see Canada from where you were standing?
Oh, I saw a lot of Canada.
That must have been sick.
I saw so much ham, it was crazy.
Wow, weird. I saw a video of Tom Cruise crashing a motorcycle. I don't have anything more to say about it, but I did enjoy it.
I always thought that airplane scene where he was in Mission Impossible and he was hanging outside the airplane, he actually did that. That's kind of crazy. Mm.
Yeah, he longs for the sweet embrace of death.
Mm. And one day he will get that chance. Hey,
yeah.
Boys, I want to talk to you about this a little bit. I want to talk to you about What If the show and this episode in particular. Because let's face it, this show is an opportunity for Marvel to cure your Marvel fatigue, James.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's an opportunity for them to break out of their formula, to take non-canonical swings, and to slap their veiny narrative dick down on this desk and say,
damn,
hey, while looking you deep within the eyes, look what I got. This is different. Do you find it to be neat? And the first episode, I don't think, accomplished that. If we're all being honest with ourselves, it was straight up dog water. It was not good.
Should have flipped them. They should have flipped them.
They should have just left the first one out. The second episode was better. Yes, it played on our nostalgic heartstrings and made us miss a king and made me wish Thanos got away with the genocide a little bit. He was very convincing.
Yeah, a little bit.
But I'll tell you, I did not believe something like this episode would ever happen. A truly transcendent television experience. I cannot heap enough praise on this episode. It was not only the best television episode I've ever seen, but it was the best form of entertainment I've ever seen. Nay, it was the best thing that's ever happened to me.
I'm going to be honest with you, Ryan.
Yeah.
I can't tell if you're being true or lying. I can't tell.
I've never had a truer sentence come out of my face.
Because I know this is not your favorite piece of television. It's probably an episode of The West Wing.
The best episode of television that I've ever seen. And I'm sure that your guys' review of this episode will not reach the heights that mine are currently because you're not brave enough. But I just want you guys and the audience to know that if they are willing to open their minds and, more importantly, their hearts, the third episode of What If can cosmically change your life like it did mine. I have depression gone. Anxiety, poof, out of here.
I now know that
back hair somehow
telling the truth.
I used to be covered head to toe with just a thick, luscious mane of. I'm basically a wild animal. I am now 100% bare ass because of this episode of television. So
now, can we get to your honest review?
That was my honest review.
Oh, okay.
I thought this was fine. Again, like I could not stop thinking about Archer. Like, every expression that Black Widow made looked like she was the crazy chick from Archer.
It did remind me of Archer, this episode. And so I wasn't on the first two episode review with you guys. And James, you made a mention about the animation and how you weren't a fan of it. Actually, I think Chad did too. I don't remember. But I actually really like this animation. I think it lends itself well to what they're trying to do, but it very much looks like Archer.
And like, especially like if you look at her face, the facial expressions that Black Widow is making, like the eye rolls and the kind of like, you know, tilting the mouth to the side to say something snarky. It was incredibly Archer.
Is that a general animation thing?
I think more like a stylistic thing. And then, you know, also, you know, they're doing the quippy Marvel humor throughout. And obviously it's not as funny as an episode of Archer, but I feel like that's kind of what they were going for. Because it's like they're talking about their friend who just died, but like making jokes about it.
they ventured into the danger zone, if we're going to go Archer with it. Okay. It's a place that not many shows would ever go, James. You're not giving it the credit that it deserves, okay?
So if we're going to recap this one, it starts... Is this the end of Iron Man 2? I saw Iron Man 2 in theaters,
this was like
I remember.
The middle of Iron Man 2. Okay, it was like right after him and Brody had gotten a fight at the Malibu Mansion.
Okay. So he's eating donuts inside of a giant donut sign somewhere in the American Southwest. And they're like, Tony Stark, you need to join the Avengers. And he's like, I work alone. Remember that scene from Iron Man 2? I don't.
No. Iron Man 2 pales in comparison to this episode of television. This is actually slightly based on a comic called Fury's Big Week. And in said comic... The Avengers Initiative are like slowly but surely killed off. Iron Man dies. Natasha Romanoff is the main suspect. Thor dies. Loki leads an army of Asgardians to Earth in order to get quote unquote justice. And then the true killer is remaining at large. Fury needs to recruit a new team of Avengers, including Captain Marvel, aka Marvel Superman. And that's the way, but I just like the name of it. Fury's Big Week.
Yeah, why didn't they call this What If Fury's Big Week?
Listen, the content of the episode was legendary, but they just, that was the place where they did trip up. They had the perfect name, but they just could not get it across the line.
Yeah, but the What If naming structure is not like What If and then just like a subtitle. It's like literally a sentence, right?
Yeah, I just want them. They're breaking all these conventions of storytelling that Ryan enjoys. I want them to break the conventions of prescriptive grammar and have like, what if I am Iron Man?
You can tell the people who wrote the story, created the show, did not do the titles. The titles was done by that octopus who was picking those soccer games, I believe.
My goddamn hero.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
So, as Adam was saying, this pretty much follows scene by scene what happened in Iron Man 2. Again, supposedly, I don't remember what happened in that movie. And they meet Tony Stark and he's hungover. And so it was a joke that they inject him with a truth serum or something, which wakes him up from the hangover in the movie. But when they do it this time, it kills him. And so
that's not what happens in the movie.
Chad's here, by the way. Thank you, Chad. And I was about to say also, no, that's not what happened. He's having a tough time with the shrapnel getting closer and closer to his heart. And
that's not what happened either.
Oh my God, Chad, just hang up.
No, what happened was
blood toxicity.
The arc reactor, yeah, was poisoning him, and that fought back the poison temporarily.
Okay.
Thanks.
It was a bad movie, anyway.
No, did you hear that that movie Chef? That
It's an amazing movie.
Yeah, no, that movie is about the creation of Iron Man 2.
It's about Cuban sandwiches, Chad.
No. Yeah. It's a metaphor for his creative struggle with the studio when he was creating Iron Man 2. How, like, he wanted to have the menu that he wanted that could show off his talents, but, you know, the boss kept coming in saying, no, you gotta make it work this way. And he ended up sacrificing everything for, you know, because the boss. And I mean, there's a YouTube video that I can share if anyone's interested, but it's pretty interesting.
If that's true, that I actually love that.
And it's time now to release the Favreau cut.
Oh my gosh.
I've never been less interested in my entire life.
Oh, I mean, I'm more interested than the fucking Ayers cut. Or Ayer cut.
Of Iron Man 2?
Yes.
Yeah, of Iron Man 2.
Yep.
Specifically.
They should let David Ayer do a cut. I'm gonna give him everything that was shot and let him do it.
Oh, dear Lord.
You don't know what happened to that submarine. Yeah.
So, yeah, Iron Man's dead. You think perhaps it was an accident because, you know, as the Watcher explains, the premise of this episode is just like that the Avengers are going to die before the Avengers happens. They're arresting Black Widow, and you think maybe like her hand slipped or she hit an artery or something, right? Which could kill you if you put the wrong thing in there. And her and Fury agree that, like, no, this is a setup. Somebody set her up to kill Tony Stark. And so now we're kind of hitting off a murder mystery, which was interesting to me. I didn't have all the answers straight away. I did figure it out pretty quickly, probably a little quicker than I was supposed to, because towards the end of the episode, I was like, okay, all right, come on, just get there. But at this point, I was interested. I didn't know what was going on.
You really figured out the ending, like, earlier?
Oh, yeah, I figured it out in the Hulk scene, yeah.
I had no idea that it was going to be that person.
Anybody else figure it out before me?
I mean, I can lie like you are and say that I figured it out from the beginning.
No, I did. I did figure it out. It was obvious.
Sure.
It was obvious? It was Hank Pym? Like,
yes.
What?
Yes, it was obvious. Okay, we'll
I
get
thought
there.
It
we'll
was the there. Winter Soldier.
I had no idea.
So, the next scene, it's another bad movie. The first Thor, and S.H.I.E.L.D. is surrounded the hammer, and they're guarding it, and Hawkeye's up in his crow's nest waiting for someone to try to steal it so he can shoot them with an arrow. And you know, do you remember what happened? Thor, like, sneaks in at night. He doesn't have his powers, though, so he's just kind of assassin's creeding his way in. And when he gets to the hammer, Fury gives Hawkeye the order not to shoot, but then he does shoot. But he's like, what? I didn't mean to shoot, and I still shot somehow, and he kills Thor. And again, the cool that they went there, you know, no blood or anything, and that's not necessary. Just interesting that they filmed a shot where Hawkeye shoots Thor in the heart, and that's in a TV show now.
Well, two things. One, I do wish there was blood. Blood and guts would have been sick. Mm, it was very sad when Thor died. He's not supposed to die. That's crazy. Two, Hawkeye, failure, what a pair.
Right, yeah. They don't even need a murder mystery. I'll just buy at face value that Hawkeye fucked this up.
As would I.
At this point in the show, I liked thinking that the two non-superpowered people took out Thor and Iron Man.
Yeah, right.
Right. The worst superheroes.
And you know that they had to input Black Widow's freaking, like, superhero landing stance in this. You see that? Like, they had to put it in.
It's her signature.
Yeah, okay.
So I can tell you, at this point in the story, my thinking was like, well, maybe there's just a S.H.I.E.L.D. conspiracy to undermine Nick Fury, and everyone is in on it but him, is what I thought at this point. Because then, you know, they lock up Hawkeye, and he's in a solitary confinement under 24-hour watch, and somehow he still dies.
Hmm. You know, you just brought up the movie Chef. You know what's a chef's kiss? Mwah! Oh my God. This scene, baby. Mm-hmm.
Kill him in the next one, too.
Honestly, I rewinded Clint Barton dying about 50,000 times, it was what took this episode to the next level. It's what made it the greatest television episode that's ever graced my scrolls.
Now I understand where you were going with that.
God, if I could watch Clint Barton die from the moment I woke up to the moment I fell asleep until I died, I would.
And then Ryan immediately went online and commissioned a 3D artist to draw a portrait of Clint Barton's family at a funeral for him. And his wife and young children are crying.
Yeah, if only you could bottle tears from a painting.
Jesus.
So the next scene is where I figured it out. I thought it was pretty obvious.
Okay, guys, gotta go. Have a good time, guys.
Okay.
What?
Because Ryan, he turned it off after Hawkeye died. He was like, and perfect.
Yeah, why change perfection?
She goes to the university from, and this was interesting, the Incredible Hulk, the Edward Norton one, with the dude from Lie to Me, who I actually don't like at all. The scene where the Hulk, like, they shoot gas canisters at him when he's in that, like, glass building bridge. Remember that scene?
Yeah, no, I'm curious if the timeline works out that way. I mean, I guess they probably did their homework, but I thought that the Hulk 1 movie came out sooner.
Tim Roth from Lie to Me is amazing, James. The fuck?
Yeah.
How dare you?
I find him just to look and sound very weird.
Was he there?
Racist.
He was there in the movie. He didn't show up to the What If one.
He wasn't in What If.
He becomes Abomination.
Yeah, and he's gonna show up in Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings.
Oh my God. Sorry, really? I was supposed to not be here. Bye.
this was settled a long time ago, but here's just more confirmation that, like, yes, the Edward Norton Hulk movie is in the MCU.
Right. It was nice to see Betty Ross again.
Betty Ross, probably not played by Liv Tyler. I haven't looked this up. I'm assuming they did not get Liv Tyler for this voice role because it did not sound like her.
I didn't think so. But it would be interesting if they cast her back in, especially with She-Hulk coming out.
Mm. It wasn't her.
See, it's been so long, I didn't even know it was Liv Tyler that played that role. Had no idea.
So it's sort of like it is in Avengers, where, yes, she just wants to meet the Hulk, but instead she comes up with a convoluted excuse why she might want to talk to Liv Tyler's character, which is how it worked at Avengers. She's like, no, we don't want the Hulk. We just want you to talk about gamma radiation, you know?
Is that what you got?
Yeah.
She just wanted to meet the Hulk.
Why would she go to see Liv Tyler? Again, Liv Tyler points it out. She's like, why would you come see me and not one of the other thousands of
I thought that she went to see, well, Betty Ross, because she was an expert in biology or chemistry or whatever it was, and she wanted to see if she could figure out if there was a poison put into the needle. I didn't think that she was there to find Hulk at all. I thought that, like, she went to her over another scientist because she knows that Betty was good at keeping Hulk's secret.
I assumed that this was meant to parallel the way it worked in Avengers, where they're like, please come look at our gamma radiation. We definitely don't want you to be the Hulk.
I don't know.
At any rate, she shows her something interesting. The under a microscope, if you look at the syringe, the end of it has been, like, blown out as if something forced his way, like a bullet was shot out of it or something.
Huh.
And even still here, I did not figure it out. It was not at this point that I figured it out. I was still a little confused.
Yeah, but in retrospect, when you say it like that, we all probably should have figured it out, right?
Yeah. When you know... It's obvious.
As this is happening, meanwhile, Loki and the Asgardian army and the Warriors 3 arrive at that S.H.I.E.L.D. forwards operations base in the desert where the hammer is, and they're like, guess what? You killed my brother. I mean, I was plotting to kill him, but now I'm angry at you, and so I will conquer Earth.
Yeah.
Nick Fury.
You can't kill him. Only I can kill him.
And so Nick Fury says, like, hey, it's not my fault. Somebody murdered him. We're putting it together. I'll give you the murderer. Actually, they're working this out parallel to what's happening in the Black Widow scene, and they call each other while they're both dealing with this, and Nick Fury tells her, like, you've got to protect the Hulk, someone's gonna try to kill him too.
By the way, Natasha Romanoff / Black Widow, not played by Scarlett Johansson, most likely because she's suing them. Although, this was back a year or two ago,
yeah,
she's not being played by Scarlett Johansson, being played by Bless This Mess's Lake Bell, who's wonderful.
I think she did a really good job. I think she did a great job.
She was great, because there was a lot of, like, cadences in her voice that, like, show through.
I will say, the best voice acting in this episode was Clark Gregg as Agent Phil Coulson. It's just so genuine.
That wasn't the actual guy?
No, it was. His name was Clark Gregg.
Oh, I don't know his name.
Clark Gregg.
I don't know his name. Sorry, I don't know his name.
You didn't know his name, but you so confidently were like, oh my God, not him.
Wait, that wasn't him? I was like, that sounded so... That was like the most genuine one.
P.S., by the way, that was an atomism. That's what we pointed out. Wait, what?
Is that right? That's an atomism?
And also, like, you know, the greatest voice acting would have been done by Jeremy Renner if, when he died, he made, like, dying noises that I could make my ringtone on my phone.
I'm going to be real with you. His voice acting in this episode was fucking horseshit.
Dog water bullshit, yeah.
It was. It really was.
He's not a very good actor.
Whoever's doing the Liv Tyler performance is also quite bad. What? You're Black Widow?
I can't wait for the Hawkeye show to be phenomenal, and you just have to eat all your words, and they're going to be salty. And it's going to be good.
But if it's shit.
Then he's going to have to eat shit.
One, I love salt. Okay? Two, I don't think I'm going to have to worry about that, Chad. And three, you're going to like it just despite me. And I'm going to hate it just despite you.
Okay. Fair enough.
So you just not watch it.
I wasn't planning on it. I'm definitely going to watch it because... We are going to do a podcast about it, because the best podcasting happens when hatred is a thing.
Yeah, fair.
I thought you were going to say, when Ryan's here.
Well, you're not wrong, Chad, but that's neither here nor there.
So that scene, the one famous scene from that Hulk movie where he's like in that building bridge and the gas comes in, that's about to play out. But this time, Black Widow's there, and... he gets shot in the shoulder. I don't remember if that happens in the movie. I don't care.
Nope.
And he starts transforming into the Hulk. And he, you know, says, or Liv Tyler intimates, like, well, the Hulk can't die anyway, so there's no point in trying to assassinate him.
Yeah. It'll be chill, and I'm sure the thing I'm saying right now will just, like, not come back to haunt me in moments.
Liv Tyler, or sorry, Betty Ross and Scarlet Witch. No.
Jesus Christ.
Betty Ross and...
No, don't say it again. I'm keeping the first one.
Helplessly, as somehow the Hulk, after transforming, just like expands into a big, bulging, bubbling mess and explodes.
Hey.
And at this point, it was obvious to me.
Was that a bit much? Do you think that was a bit much? The Hulk exploded?
I mean, it didn't show anything. It just showed green mist.
The part where his dick exploded was a lot.
I mean, I think they could have had the same effect if he just, like, had a heart attack and fell down, and then it was just, like, confusing and not, like, a spectacle.
Right, and that also would not have given away, to me at least, the ending. If they had done what Chad just said, I wouldn't have figured it out. But because he exploded, the very first thing my mind went to was the Endgame meme where what if Ant-Man jumped up Thanos' butt?
Yes.
Oh my god,
it would have worked. Like, confirmed, Marvel confirmed it themselves, would have worked.
So, is this a thing that, like, if you just, I don't know, shock Hulk's heart, he explodes?
No, that's not what happened, Chet. He went inside Hulk's body, he threw one of those growing things on his heart. Yeah. And he grew his heart to the size of a
And on that day, his heart grew 15,000 sizes. And he gave all the Christmas presents back and exploded.
I thought that he, like, pushed his adrenaline beyond what he was capable of. And, like, he over-hulked.
It was straight up the Grinch. He's green. His heart grew. Did the Grinch explode, but it was like a Dr. Seuss book, so he couldn't cover it?
He exploded with happiness.
Yeah, I bet. That's what you call it? That's what you call it these days?
That's what we call it.
I think it would have been better if he shrunk his heart and he had a heart attack and we were left wondering. I think the explosion looked hokey. And, like, he exploded into gas. It should have been guts and blood everywhere.
Hulk missed.
I've never agreed with anything you've ever said, Chad. And that one, 100%.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I had something snarky to say, but that's true.
Yeah.
Like, we've been friends for 20 years.
So long.
Literally nothing.
Zero.
I was like, I don't agree with the Nazis, and Brady was like, I don't know.
They had their points. They had their moments.
Well, now that Chad said that.
I need to make very clear, I don't think the Nazis were right. Is this two podcasts in a row where I'm just like, guys, truly don't think the Nazis were in the right here.
It's a runner. It's a runner, Ryan. Careful.
So the resolution of the Nick Fury scene is that Loki gives him 24 hours to hand over the murderer, or I don't know, I'm going to kill you and destroy Earth. Something like that.
Or he'll take over Earth. Oh, wait.
Spoiler alert.
So that night, Black Widow sneaks into a S.H.I.E.L.D. facility and just straight up calls Agent Coulson on his phone and says, I've been locked out of my account. Can I use your password? And he gives it to her, and it's just that easy. And then she's in the S.H.I.E.L.D. computer system. And his password is Steve, 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 I love Steve 69.
Yeah, hashtag Steve, 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 I heart Steve 0704.
Really, though, two-step authentication.
Yeah. Right, just call the cell phone, Jesus.
It's a two-Steve authentication. We jumped right over the part where Clark Gregg was smelling Thor's corpse and said he smelled like lavender. That was so chill.
That was some Archer shit right there.
I liked all the jokes with Phil Coulson.
Agent Coulson was not originally in the comics. He was only in the MCU, and people loved him so much they wrote him into the comic books.
Well, that's because he's one of the best parts by far.
Yeah, he's great.
You know, they also they made Nick Fury look like Samuel Jackson because they wanted him to play that role in the MCU.
Yeah, in the Ultimates universe, yeah.
Yeah.
So they're still the white blonde Nick Fury in the regular universe. In the Ultimate universe, it was the Samuel L. Jackson Nick Fury. And then when they merged them all together, they let the Sam Jackson Fury be Nick Fury in, like, the new continuity for that reason.
Well, you know what they say. I didn't know that. Dress for the Nick Fury you want.
Right. He's the Nick Fury we deserve right now?
Maybe.
What is it? Yeah.
I thought that this was a very lazy way to make this reveal. So she's looking through records of who's logged into their S.H.I.E.L.D. Facebook account. And what's this? An agent who died 2 years ago just logged in yesterday? Strange that I was arrested for murdering Tony Stark and then I couldn't log in anymore. But somehow the S.H.I.E.L.D. sysop did not, like, close the account of an agent who died 2 years ago. That's not a security risk. Whatever.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, and the off-screen death of Liv Tyler was... No, wait, not Liv Tyler. The off-screen death of...
Oh, who's Dick
Evangeline Lilly was so not cool.
Wait, is that Evangeline Lilly who plays that role?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was Liv Tyler. I guess I haven't seen that movie for a while.
Liv Tyler is Betsy Ross. I mean, Betty Ross. Wait, maybe both.
Betty
wait,
Ross.
Then who does Evangeline Lilly play?
The Wasp.
Hope. Yeah.
Oh, Hope Van Dyne. Right, okay. I'm so confused.
Hope Van Dyne, yeah.
See, well, you're confused because...
It's all about Hope! It's all about Hope!
Yeah, James, what did you think that she meant when she said it's all about Hope?
No, I understood that. The only thing I got confused about was when... I didn't remember who plays the Wasp. I don't care. So when Fair Ryan enough. Brought up that name just now...
It's Evangeline Lilly.
It's Evangeline Lilly.
Yeah, it's Evangeline Lilly.
But it's all about Hope!
So is right. the so thing, I already is the knew thing based that's on different the... in this universe then? So is the thing that's different with... Is the thing that's different in this universe then that Evangeline Lilly was in S.H.I.E.L.D.? Because I don't think she was ever a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent before.
Yeah, that's the thing that's different, is that
that's the thing that's different.
He recruited her into S.H.I.E.L.D.
And Hank Pym gave her the Wasp suit.
Maybe he did.
In the movie, he didn't do that. In the movie, she wanted to, and he was like, absolutely not.
Or she was just a regular old S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. I don't think they ever make it clear.
I guess that's true.
Anywho... The it's all about Hope line was really on the nose. I was like, okay, well, certainly now it's very clear to everyone what happened.
Anybody paying attention?
I'll be honest. It was not clear to me because I forgot her name. And also, again, I had been screaming at the top of my lungs with my fingers over my ears and had my eyes closed the moment that Clint Barton died.
Because you were so upset.
No,
you didn't want it to get worse.
Correct. And I knew it would.
Phil Closen points out to Samuel Jackson that surely he must be on the Avengers hit list too, because, you know, he's an Avenger, whatever. And I'm like, well, I'm not the last one. So he takes out his call Captain Marvel pager and, like, he's going to call Captain Marvel. But then he's like, oh, shit, I have another idea. But it's like, why not just also call her?
Definitely just press that button.
Yeah. In case that doesn't work. So... something happens off screen. We don't see it just yet. And then he goes to a graveyard and he stands at the grave of Hope Van Dyne, the Wasp, who's apparently dead. And then who should show up but a crazed Hank Pym? And is he wearing the same suit that the bad guy in Ant-Man 1 wore?
He's wearing the yellow jacket suit, which is actually a callback to the comics, because Hank Pym in the comics, like, loses it a couple times. He becomes like a wife abuser and like it's really kind of dark and he becomes the yellow jacket. So, this is comic friendly.
He blames Nick Fury for what happened to his daughter, and so he enacted his revenge by killing the Avengers, even though Tony Stark had nothing to do with what happened to Hope Van Dyne and didn't even know any about this. It's very strange that he took his revenge on Tony Stark.
A little Kang-esque, right? Like, comic book Kang, where Ravonna Renslayer was like, get off my stoop, bitch, I don't like you. And Kang was like, you know what I'll do? I will kidnap the entirety of the Avengers. And then he did that and then dragged them up to her stoop. Like, he was a cat and they were mice. And he was like, do you like this? I did this for you. Do you like this? And she was like, no. What the fuck? Why are you here again? That's not a good idea. Give me flowers. Fuck.
And so they're having a fight. And it's crazy because... for some reason, Nick Fury is, like, holding his own really well. Like, easily swatting away... Hank Pym's attacks, and Hank Pym is even getting a little confused. I like the remark that he makes. He's like, wow, you still fight pretty well for somebody with a corner office.
Yeah, actually, as it was happening, I should have known it was Loki faster than I did, but my first thought was just like, oh, this reminds me of the show Loki, where I was like, he's a little stronger than I thought he was, for sure. He can, he can do karate.
Yeah, at first I thought they were just using the animation to showcase that Fury's not a chump. Because Samuel Jackson is an old man and can't do the stuff that they probably want him to do.
Say that to his face, Chad. So
I will gladly, because I'm pretty sure he's actually
a really
nice
shit,
guy.
I want to see you and Samuel L. Jackson get in a fist fight. That'd be sick.
A
screaming match.
Yeah, man, let's do it.
I think that, you know, Samuel Jackson, pretty big, pretty jacked, but like also very old. I think that would actually be a decent fight. I might put the money on Chet.
Adam, who are you taking?
Oh, I don't know. Samuel Jackson, he drops one motherfucker, and then I think you're going to just turn to dust.
Right. I get stunned. Yeah, so here, Samuel Jackson, friend of the pod, come on. We'll film it.
Yeah. Yeah. And when we do film it, it will go pretty quickly, because Chad is just going to take, like, a tree branch to your knee and take you out, and then just, like, weirdly execute you. It's going to be sick.
Wow.
Jeez.
It's a fight. I didn't realize it was a fight to the death.
You did it, Chad, not me. So...
You know, if this happens, I'm going to be so happy.
You killing Samuel Jackson?
No, Samuel Jackson listening to the pod and agreeing to stage a fight.
I don't think you got to worry about that, Chad.
Something to look forward
to. So when director Nick Fury says things like, I don't give a shit about anyone, and then starts using magic, you realize that something is up, and it turns out that this is Loki, and... He also got, basically, he made a deal. He got him to confess that he killed Thor in front of Loki, which is all that Loki needed, and now they're a team. And he's like, it was nice working with you, director. I had such a good time. I think I'll conquer Earth.
Like Rita Repulsa. And time to conquer Earth!
Power Rangers!
Wasn't it cool Rangers pod. When all of the Zords came together to make the one Gundam?
Do you remember that giant, like, was he like a dog man? Goldar?
Oh, Goldar was not a...
What was he?
I mean, I
what
don't...
What was he?
He was wearing armor.
He was kind of like a...
I don't know what he was.
He was kind of a... I guess he could be a dog, man. I saw him more as like a hyena, which I guess is kind of a dog. But then he got wings later, and he was like a bat.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh,
like a gold bat.
He kind of like was a bat.
They are monkeys. Silverback gorillas.
Really?
And by and by they, I mean he has a brother named Silverback.
Oh, okay. Well, all right then.
Goldar does?
Yeah.
Gold has a brother named Silver?
Oh, my God.
I love it.
Anyway, how does this episode end?
Loki takes over Earth, and then Nick Fury is not cool with that, so I'm still going to do the Avengers. So he goes to find frozen Steve Rogers, and when he gets there, who should meet him there except Captain Marvel? And she's like, what's the plan, director? And I was like, well, we don't need Captain America now.
No.
Captain Marvel will just solo this.
You just do Ex Machina with Superman / Woman in this case, and in the Marvel Universe. So, yeah. Just keep him iced-boxed. Who cares?
He didn't page Captain Marvel, though. How did she appear?
He did it all.
Well, presumably time passed.
Oh, and he just did it.
And he wanted to make a new Avengers group. Oh, and he only had two names on his list.
Yeah, right. All right. Might as well call him.
I'm not going to spend the next 20 minutes discussing how Superman sucks. I've done that on multiple podcasts multiple times. But hey, when Captain Marvel shows up, this episode didn't matter. Nothing matters.
I wonder how they're going to make Captain Marvel interesting in the next Marvel's show movie thing.
I assume the same way they made her interesting in Infinity War. Just kind of forgetting about her for 75% of it.
Right. Write her out. Like she gets hypnotized, and the other Marvels need to try to save her.
Just think of, like, okay, on your left, right? I bring it up all the time. One of my favorite moments in cinematic history. I loved it. It brought together, like, my entire childhood, my teenage years. It was just perfection. If Captain Marvel showed up 10 minutes earlier, who would give a shit? Like, on your left, like, don't worry about it. You can stay there. Captain Marvel's going to do this by her goddamn self.
Well, see, I thought they did a good job because, like, there was the Power Stone. Like, we've been trained so long to understand these stones. And then, like, when he kicks out the Power Stone and uses it to take her down, like, the ultimate power. I don't know. I thought that they took her down a peg effectively there.
I mean, they did it the only way they could, using another Infinity Stone to punch her Infinity Stone jaw. And then, you know, you fast forward to Loki and they're in desks and they use them as paperweights. I'm like, okay, that's a better subversion of Captain Marvel / Superman do ex machina-ing all this bullshit than Thanos brass knuckling, power stoning her in the fucking mouth. What?
Yeah.
What if, baby? You know, I did like that one scene where they were in the Humvee driving across the desert and Bernie from Westworld was like in the background. That was pretty sick.
What?
When, okay. What? Yeah. What? What yeah, was
what are
that?
You talking about?
No, I remember what I know. I remember what Ryan's talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. So James got it.
He's
so
like
cool.
In the sky.
What's his name in this fucking show?
He's the Watcher.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Watcher?
The Watcher. Did you guys see that? Where the Watcher was just like in the sky.
Big wide shot. Yeah. Yeah.
It was pretty sick.
Yeah, okay, I know what you're talking about.
I didn't. Okay. Where were we?
We were fucking. We were nowhere.
I don't know, this episode was fine. It wasn't bad. It was interesting to watch. I didn't love it, nor did I hate it.
Yeah, it was fine. It was a great, like, made for TV movie that was only 30 minutes long.
Okay. Very quickly. Rate or put these three episodes in order, and then if what if was done after this third episode, put it into Falcon, Wanda, Loki order. Adam, go.
Okay, two, three,
that's
one.
That's a tall order. Probably,
it's not. It's not. Just go now.
I'll do it. I'll go first. Two, three,
yeah,
one. Ahead. 2-3-1.
Nice. Yeah. And 2-3-1's the right answer.
And then I would put this. I would probably say WandaVision. Loki, this Falcon, and the Winter Soldier.
Oh my God, Chad, 2-in-1 podcast? Are you serious? Chad and I mind melding right now.
Hey, look at that. I guess the Nazis were right.
Jesus.
Oh, I knew you always felt that way. But
I'm an anti-fascist.
Well, I'm also a 2-3-1 on this. 2-3-1, strictly because I love Guardians of the Galaxy very much. And that was a great episode. And then I would probably go Wanda. Would you say, Chad? Wanda, Loki, this, and then what, Falcon?
Yeah.
I think that's what I would put it into, actually.
Yeah, because it's the right answer.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's maybe you can flip those middle two, but yeah.
Yeah.
In terms of how I enjoyed it, obviously 2-3-1. And then you guys are going to think I'm trolling you, but I'm not.
Oh, boy.
Here comes the
I would
troll,
probably
guys.
Go Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Ugh. What if WandaVision Loki?
Listen, I appreciate that take. If we all had the same take, people should just shut off the podcast.
Yeah, fair.
You liked Falcon and the Winter Soldier better than WandaVision?
We've had this. Have we not done this?
It's because he could talk about it more. There was more to talk about.
Well, I mean, James is a sucker for any kind of political intrigue, and Falcon and the Winter Soldier was the closest to it.
Also, WandaVision was a big cock tease, J.J. Abrams mystery box bullshit that went nowhere.
Or arguably, it was a series-long misdirection that was trying to make us feel as confused as Wanda was.
Right. Or arguably, it was a cynical 6-hour gonzo marketing scheme to get people talking about Disney Plus on social media.
Or maybe.
So you guys said.
All right. Well, you're wrong. So there.
Yeah, he got you, James.
Yeah, you either had defense, but you can't defend against that because I didn't make an argument.
Well, interesting points that you made, Chad. Good work arguing the case. Unfortunately, I had sexual intercourse with your mother, and so that means that I have won the day.
You know what, James? You are a outstanding man, and my mother would be lucky.
Well, she is lucky. It's already
happened. As a stepdad.
It's already happened.
So from all of the marketing material, it looks like episode 4 is Doctor Strange versus bad Doctor Strange. But to be fair, the marketing material for episode 3 was like, vote Loki. But what if, though? And that's not the way that ended up being. So I will be interested to see what Doctor Strange bullshit they do in episode 4, and if they're joshing us again.
It should be good. I mean, if it is like a Doctor Strange thing, if nothing else, it's going to make a great screensaver.
Oh yeah, that's true.
I mean, like, I'll gladly cut out crudely Doctor Strange from a frame in this next episode and put him on like the rolling hills of the Windows 2000 screensaver. That'd be sick.
So this is the second time in What If that they've kind of teased, I guess all three times they tease a little bit, but mostly in the second one, they tease other consequences to the primary change that they caused.
Yeah.
Do you feel like they're going to, like all these loose threads are going to go somewhere, or are they just leaving the tease open to kind of make you think, you know, what happened next?
I think they're just leaving it open,
yep.
Honestly.
They are going to tease those, never bring them up ever again.
It's like the whole vibe of that, of the Watcher, just like, ooh, yeah. What if this? Here, I'm going to go into detail about this one story and then leave you and be like, you can think I watch.
I desperately want this show to end with the Watcher, because every episode we're fed the same line. We're like, I watch, I don't intervene, I'm not allowed to, what would happen if this happened? I really want it to end where, like, the rules are broken. And we talked about this in the last episode. There's precedence for it in the comic. And I think that because we're already exploring the multiverse, it could be really interesting. Like, what if the last episode it involves a Spider-Man and the Watcher interrupts it or whatever, or like the multiverse happens from the new Spider-Man movie at the same time, and like the Spider-Man from the What If storyline appears in the movie. Like, that's the kind of back and forth that I think would be really cool when we're playing with these alternate realities. Like, what if Wakanda Star-Lord met our Star-Lord?
Oh, I see.
You know?
It could be cool. It could get confusing, though.
It could get confusing.
That's the only thing I could see it not happening, because it just may confuse the audience too much.
Right. Especially if they're not subscribed to Disney Plus.
Totally. Right.
Well, that, or if they're, you know, it's superheroes. It's targeted to the younger generation, younger kids. Kids, they can't follow that. Or maybe I'm assuming too much, but, you know, like young kids, like, you know.
Yeah, I have a 9-year-old who loves all the Marvel stuff, and we're not even having him watch the What If stuff, or any of the Disney Plus shows at all, because some of the Disney Plus shows, they kind of deal with heavier things.
You're right. The MCU main movies don't deal with death at all. Patreon.com/HBO Boys, Boys of the Z. For $1 or more a month, you get a bunch of extra bonus content. Thank you to our patrons, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Anthony Wells, Day 11 Podcast, James Watch My Dong. I don't know if you are, James, but I hope so. Atheism Unstoppable, Chris Wood, Brinkin, Day 11 Westworld, Craig, John Durs, Major Woody, and Carol Andreas. Also, I just want to let you guys know before we go, in Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 53, the comic book, the new one that's coming out, Lord Zedd is turning Rita Repulsa, Goldar, Squat, Babu, and Finster into his elite Dark Rangers. Okay?
Whoa.
Shit.
Rita stands tall at the center with her Red Ranger design. Goldar is the Dark Yellow Ranger. Babu is the Black Ranger.
Dark Black.
Yeah, the darkest Black Ranger. Squat is the Blue Ranger, and Finster is the Pink Ranger. I'm going to show you guys. Sadly, this is not the medium for pictures, but just like maybe I'll tweet it out afterwards. But you guys, like,
or if you join the Discord, you can check it out there.
Ooh, interesting. So are you telling me that I should be getting back into Power Rangers, dude?
No, I'm telling you that you have to sadly become literate, because it's only in comic books.
Well, I mean.
Also, very sorry to tell you guys, there has been no major news in the Release the Air Cut discourse other than Margot Robbie, Joel Kinnaman, and John Cena voicing their support for it.
Oh, good.
And for the record, the Nazis were bad.
Yeah, and
they were bad.
When John Cena was voicing his support, nobody could see him in the first place, so it's kind of useless.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.